Checkpoint Intimates.
We are your weekly gaming show where two members of the Checkpoint team go one-on-one and get intimate on a particular gaming topic. My name is Elliot, and this week I'm joined by Sam.
Hello. This is my first intimate.
It is.
Love what you've done with the place. All the scented candles and everything.
Red velvet drapes. Pillows everywhere. Just needless amounts of pillows. I don't know why we have so many pillows.
Yes.
But it is a very intimate setting. And I'm glad you've walked into my little love den, because on this episode, we want to talk about the idea of interactive film. Specifically, we're going to be talking about the kind of big craze that I'm hearing a lot of people talk about, which is Netflix's Bandersnatch.
Yeah,
it's and kind of talking about, you know, is this a game? Is it a movie? Can it be both? Are these like a good form of medium? So yeah. You've seen it. Go on, talk us through Bandersnatch.
So, yeah, Bandersnatch is the latest Black Mirror kind of... It's kind of an episode. It's kind of a film as well, you know.
It's like its own standalone thing, though, right?
Yeah.
Like, I know every episode of Black Mirror is its own standalone thing, but more than any of the others, this feels like its own thing.
Yeah, like, they kind of list it as, I think, like, 90 minutes, and, you know, it's kind of, you know, in that kind of ballpark. You know, it's a few hours, depending on how much time you spend on it. You're playing specifically, because, you know, it is an interactive film, as a developer in the 80s creating this game called Bandersnatch. And every so often you'll have these choices that you can make. You know, do you want to have sugar puffs or Frosty Flakes? You know,
that
like,
is the first option.
Yes, it's like, oh man, this will change everything.
So for those who haven't experienced Bandersnatch yet, I'll paint you a little picture. Basically, pretend like you're watching Netflix, and then all of a sudden everything kind of cuts and you've got two options and you can go left or right. I was using a remote, like a controller, like a video game controller, but I'm sure you can do it on a TV remote as well.
I did it on a computer.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, and that obviously too.
Yeah.
So you just select the option and then the video will jump to that option, almost like a choose your own adventure, like a novel where you flip to the page you want it to be on. And that's what Bandersnatch is. And it tells a really weird and interesting story that you can continue to delve into now that I've explained how it operates.
I mean, it is pretty interesting. Obviously, we're not going to go to like spoilers or anything.
Oh, can't we? Damn it.
I found it just a very interesting, like, concept, like the way that they took this kind of stuff. And I think to a certain extent it comes down to the fact that they put a lot of effort into making these really divergent paths that let you kind of control like a lot of the world that this is kind of set in, which I found kind of interesting, because I thought it was good and bad, you know.
Well, like, good in what way, bad in what way?
Well, I mean, with the fact that you have that much control, it's kind of interesting because you're kind of so drawn into the story and you feel such a part of this world that you're kind of creating through your choices. But at the same time, like, especially as someone who is quite a fan of Black Mirror, because you have these divergent paths, like, it kind of means that you lose a bit of the story and a little bit of the kind of thematic kind of thing of it.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because when I approached Bandersnatch, I approached it in comparison to Black Mirror, and therefore in comparison to the medium of film or television. And so for me, I saw it as a benefit that there were these choices, because it, in a way, it enhanced my viewing experience, because it was me making these choices. However, all of a sudden I put on my like kind of gaming analytics cap, and then I approached it from that direction, and it was at that point I saw all the shortcomings. So for instance, if you choose a certain path the game doesn't want you to choose, sometimes it'll just straight up cut and say, no, that's the wrong choice, and it'll take you back. Or sometimes it'll just be this really kind of dull, boring ending that clearly wasn't supposed to be. Like, this isn't the key ending for the game. It wants you to do a different path. So eventually you'll go back on the path. When you play video games, you never hit, like, this dead end when you make a choice. All choices end up somewhere. But in Bandersnatch, not all choices ended up somewhere, or it didn't at least feel that way for me. It felt like these cop-out endings or these really kind of bland kind of roadblocks that were in the way for you to actually reach the story. The other problem I had was a lot of the choices, and you mentioned one right at the beginning, whether, you know, is it this serial or that serial? A lot of the choices didn't matter. You felt like you weren't picking based on what was the right thing for my character to do. You were just picking because, you know, you had no idea what the end result could be. So who cares, kind of thing. Yeah.
And there are definitely some times where they explicitly say you can do A or B, and they immediately just go, no, this is the story that we want to tell. I do find that an interesting perspective, because I totally agree with that. But at the same time, like, if you compare it to something like Walking Dead, like, I definitely think, like, Walking Dead tells, like, a better story, especially because, you know, it's this large thing over 5 episodes, sure, sure. And you're getting really invested in everything. But at the same time...
And we're talking about Telltale's The Walking Dead? Or are we talking about... Okay.
Yeah. The thing is, you don't really have that much control over the story. And that's kind of a lot of what I got out of this, was how much there is a relationship with how much consequence and how much you can completely distort things in the universe of this game or of this film. But through the virtue of you know, saying, no, we're controlling the story, you know, like, it's not like in The Walking Dead you're going to choose something and, oh, all the zombies are just gone now. You don't have that much control, and through that control, they can still tell this very crafted story that I think, as fantastic as Bandersnatch is and how much amazing work has gone into it, the fact that there's so much that you can do in this game means that it kind of starts to lose meaning after a while. And that's, I guess, my main issue with that.
Yeah,
overall.
And I totally agree. And I think you found a really interesting point there where, like, you compare this to games, and the thing is, Bandersnatch does have so many options and so many choices that result in some radically different things happening, whereas in a video game, most things end up in one of two or three endings that are actually pretty similar to one another. Maybe there's just, you know, a good ending versus a bad ending, whereas in Bandersnatch, there were so many different endings that were mostly all terrible. So it is interesting that it was able to do something video games haven't done, really, where it does diverge into so many different realms. But at the same time, yeah, those choices, they ended up being quite meaningless. Like, I played Bandersnatch, or I watched Bandersnatch, with a group of friends, and the idea for us was that we were gonna, you know, every time there was a choice, we were gonna discuss it and make the right choice for our character. About 5 choices in, we were like, well, it doesn't matter. Like, there's no way to win this. There's no way to figure out, like, what the best option is, because who knows, kind of thing. The game isn't giving you hints as to what the best outcome is. So you may as well just let the film or the game decide for you and just watch it as a film. So in a way, it lost the whole interactive for me, because I just stopped caring. But I still enjoyed it as a film. It was still really quite interesting. But it does make me wonder if it worked as intended, for me, at least.
I kind of approach it from kind of the opposite space. Like, I think, for me, the small moments where the interactivity really kind of felt like, you know, you were being pulled along into the story, those were the things that I thought were the highlights. And I just kind of had issues with the film as a whole, because, I mean, you know, some of those endings, like, how does that make sense? What's the internal logic of, like, why did that happen to that guy? Like, I can't really grasp those. But, I mean, it's such a testament to games that, you know, we're getting games like this that are so unlike anything that we've ever really seen, you know?
That's true. And I think Bandersnatch was a proof of concept, maybe more than it was an actual thing. I think we both agree as far as it was good, it was worth watching, I'm glad I did it, but it wasn't flawless. Obviously, there's way more, like, things that interactive film can do as a medium. But it does raise a question that I've been pondering for a while, and I guess I already know your answer to this question because of the way you've been talking about Bandersnatch, but I do wonder, is this a game? Can you call Bandersnatch a game?
I definitely consider it to be a game, and granted, I'm the kind of person who is more than happy to have a very expansive view on what a game can be. You know, like, if you want to say, like, it's an interactive experience, I'm like, well, yeah, sure, you can call that, or you can call it a game. Like, I mean, I call, you know, walking simulators games, which is, you know, contentious for some people. Like, oh, you're just walking around and a story is being told to you. But I very much consider it to be in that same kind of space that it should be considered alongside, you know, other games like Telltale games.
Yeah,
you know?
See, I agree with you. I think, for the most part, I don't like the idea of kind of putting into a tight little wrapped box what is and what isn't a game. Like, I think that's doing a disservice to the genre. Just, like, why can't we allow things to be games if somebody classifies them as such? Like, why be a gatekeeper of that definition? And, yeah, you're right. This conversation has come up so many times in the past. Specifically, you know, the video game conversation, stuff like walking simulators, as you mentioned, it's more of an, you know, interactive kind of, like, narrative being set forward. But it's still obviously a game. Like, it's being sold on game platforms. You interact, you move around, you explore the world. That's you doing those things. So it's more than just a film. And this plays in a very similar niche where it's like, yeah, your interactions are very limited, but as long as you have interactions, surely it's still a game.
Yeah, I mean, and it's interesting because there are other games that are fairly similar. Like, you've got FMV games, you know, which use a lot of video. And it's kind of like interactive films are films that have interactivity put into them.
Yeah.
Whereas FMV games are kind of just games that utilize the medium of video. So it's kind of like it's so splitting hairs that I'm not really certain as to why people insist on doing that kind of thing.
I think you're right. I think it's interesting, isn't it? Because I think there will be a lot of people who claim this isn't a game, it's interactive film. And I think the reason those people are making that claim is because it's being distributed via Netflix, and Netflix not being a traditional place for a game. I think if we saw this being distributed on general gaming platforms, people would have no problem calling it a game.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that there is this kind of split definition, not based on what the product actually is, but just based on where the product is being distributed.
Yeah.
My mother wouldn't call this a game. There's no way, but I made her watch it. She'd call it a TV show or a film because that is what it feels like to her, because that's where she watches Netflix.
Yeah. And I mean, to those people, I'm really curious as to how they would classify the Minecraft Story Mode, because Minecraft Story Mode is now playable on Netflix. Like, is that less of a game now that is being distributed by Netflix?
That's a very good point, isn't it? Yeah. So, Bandersnatch, like, you mentioned another form of interactive film previously. Like, have you experienced many other interactive films, or was this one of your only ones?
I haven't experienced many. Like, I've been interested in the medium, but I kind of, as I was preparing to do, you know, articles and reviews for various places about this, I was kind of looking into previous films. And most of them are kind of those kind of DVDs that came out around, like, oh, DVDs are the new thing. We've got extra space that we can put all these alternative scenes so we can have, you know, the choose your own adventure in that. So, like, for example, I recently watched through Final Destination 3, which is a movie that I very much love, and that allegedly has, like, choose your own fate stuff, but it's once again, it's very interesting because it comes back to the fact that choice versus narrative, because in something like Final Destination 3, there are alternative scenes, but a lot of the time it will just kind of diverge and then immediately go back onto the path.
Right. So in a way, it's more like a video game because that's how they do it.
Somewhat, yeah. But I mean, like, the important thing is, like, it sticks with its original narrative, especially since, you know, like, Final Destination 3 is all about, like, you can't outrun death and, you know, death is your fate and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, so it would be very weird if it was like, no, you can save them if you, you know, use the choose your own adventure thing. But Yeah, it's a very interesting counterpoint because it has a much stronger story, in my opinion. But obviously, you don't really get a lot out of the interactivity. It's just kind of extra stuff.
But you think it is a stronger stronger product because of the interactive elements that it has, or is it just a good movie that you like?
I think it's just a good movie that I like. But I think I think it's indicative of the way that interactive film, as well as games such as like the Telltale model and Life is Strange and those kinds of things, it's indicative of how much we have progressed from this, you know, single point of here's like a cool little thing you can do to actually bolstering the media and actually making you feel that you are a part of this thing that you're watching. It makes me very excited to see what Netflix and companies like that are going to be putting out in the future. Like, this is only the start of this kind of, you know, new media.
It is very cool. It makes me think that both the video game medium and the television/film medium have both kind of evolved in a way that have moved themselves towards each other. So the film medium has evolved to, you know, involve these kind of interactive elements, and that's cool. And then the video game medium has evolved into so many different directions. One of them happens to be in this kind of interactive film kind of way. So they are kind of merging genres and becoming both at once, which is super interesting. It does make me wonder, though, what is the future of interactive film? Like, do you see this booming and becoming this big thing? Like, obviously, Bandersnatch, like, a lot of people are talking about it, but that doesn't mean it's going to create this gigantic chunk of the industry or a gigantic consumer base. But potentially it could, right?
It could. It definitely helps that this is something that has been handled by Netflix, which is, you know, arguably the biggest media company, aside from Disney and all that.
Yeah. Look, they're a
pretty
big player.
They're pretty big. this is, as we said, it's the first time they're kind of going into more mature media. I definitely think there's a market for it. You know, it's one of those things that, as more gamers, kind of growing up and kind of, being interested in, these kinds of things, we're going to see more kind of demand for that. If nothing else, there's definitely a demand for interactive narrative fiction like, the Telltale model. And it kind of stands to reason that we'll probably be seeing more across whatever mediums are kind of willing to accept them, Netflix included. And I don't know, it's definitely something we're going to have to wait and see how big this gets. But I think it could be massive.
Yeah. You know? I hope more comes about. I think I like the interactive film kind of medium because of, what I described earlier, because it allows me and some friends to get together, have some fun, pay attention if you want to pay attention, make some choices, and just kind of watch as things unravel. Like, it's not... Video games obviously demand your attention, whereas Bandersnatch, it didn't. I could have fun with my friends along the way. And if I have more opportunities to do that, then I will embrace this wholeheartedly. I definitely think we can make something better than Bandersnatch. It is basically the first big thing of its kind, in a way. Obviously, there are other examples, but we can only move forward from here, right? Like, take what Bandersnatch did, learn from any mistakes it might have, and make something really awesome, and then all of a sudden, maybe people will be talking very positively about interactive film.
And we're definitely seeing it coming from the other side as well. Like, I mean, Supermassive, making Until Dawn, then Hidden Agenda, and now they're, starting on their first one in the Dark Pictures anthology, Man of Medan. There's definitely, and it's awesome because it is, couch co-op, and you can, play with your friends and have this kind of communal experience. I mean, everything indicates that this is going to be like a big trend.
Cool. It's good to hear. I really hope it is. Sam, thank you for joining me. We have been Checkpoint Intimates. My name has been Elliot, and make sure you tune in next week because there will be more intimate goodness happening.